Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, February 2nd, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter, There Is a Solution. There is more about alcoholism here today. And we're on paragraph 2. Begins with, for those who are unable to drink moderately, and ends with, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Shelley E., the 12 Traditions, Audrey M.P., and reading the text and support today is Kara L., Mary G., Janice P.M. to greet newcomers and get sponsor contact info, and Robin P. will finish us out today with announcements. Thank you for that service. The share ID numbers for these meetings for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. That would be for Monday, February 1st, 2021, is 16313, 16,313 for that share ID. And then this morning, 7 a.m. meeting that just happened a bit ago for February 2nd, 2021, share ID is 16318, 16,318. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome anyone and everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning, fellas. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas, and these are the 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Number four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Number seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Number eight, made a list of all persons we'd harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Number nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Number 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Number 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. And Shelley E. is from Texas. I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. Thank you, Melanie, for moderating. This is Audrey M.P. from our tradition. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscious. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any state-related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey MP from California. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet, smooth recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this would be indicative of the star 1 key function only, please. Any other kind of mode of trying to mute yourself still interferes with the technology. Thank you so much for that consideration. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, More About Alcoholism. We're on page 34 today, and I'm going to take apart paragraph 2. Begins with, for those who are unable to drink moderately, and ends with, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And what I'd like to do is call on Kara L., please, to take apart that paragraph for us and share with us her experience, and we'll open it up to additional comments on that particular paragraph in the fellowship here. Kara L., would you please press star 1 to unmute your line? Kara L., a quick star 1, please, to unmute your line.
I thought I was unmuted. I was talking away. Good morning. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, the reader desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it, this utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. This paragraph, it describes me, right? I that this utter inability to leave compulsive eating alone, no matter how great the wish. You know, no doctor could tell me that my blood pressure was high and that my, you know, that my cholesterol is high. No pants could get tight. No, I mean, all those indicators that I knew what I was doing wasn't working. And there was the morning I woke up, I ate my diet breakfast as I promised myself every morning. And then I continued to compulsively eat the rest of the day. And I looked at my husband and I said, I don't know what happened. I used to be able to diet and I can't anymore. There was an utter inability to stop on my own. I could not leave the food alone. And I tried everything. And I tried everything in program, out of program. I tried. You know, this is where I identify back in with Bill's story, you know, self-knowledge. I knew what I was doing. And I would wake up with a new plan every morning and it would fail by lunchtime. It didn't matter the literature I read. It didn't, because it was all me. I was trying to solve this problem on a non-spiritual basis and I couldn't. It wasn't until that I had a spiritual awakening and I realized that I needed something greater than myself to do for me what I could not do for myself. It wasn't until that I was totally out of those ideas of how to fix my own life and that I was willing to make that third step decision and say, okay, God, I will check in with you for everything. And how do I practice that today? Well, I work these steps. I work these steps as diligently as I can. I stay in 10, 11, and 12. I do those inventories when something comes to mind or I'm unsettled or just I just do it any time, right? I have a prayer and meditation that I do, and I try to keep conscious contact with higher power throughout the day. And I give service. Those are the things I do so I get to keep this contact, this power greater than me. It brought me to recovery. It gave me the food neutrality I had today. It gave me a clearer version and a way to look into my life and a design for living. It's truly, truly a miracle in my life. And today, how do I practice? You know, I ask God everything. You know, what should I have for breakfast? What should I have for lunch? Which shoes should I wear? You know, today it's, thanks, Melanie. Today, it's second nature for me, but it came after, you know, really working these steps. I look forward to hearing what everyone has today. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. The lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 34 of your big book. That's where our focus is, and you'll find us today with our Razor Focus comments. If you'd give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, I'll take a line up.
Diane M. from Michigan.
Donna B. from Colorado.
Carrie G. from Colorado.
Tiffany C. from Washington.
Robin P.
Jennifer T., South Carolina.
Okay, that's it. Thank you, ladies. This is what I have so far. Just to reassure you, I have Diane M., from Michigan. I have Donna B. from Colorado, Carrie G. from Colorado, Tiffany, as did you say, Tiffany T. from Washington, Robin P. from Florida, Mexico, and Jennifer from South Carolina. And I didn't get, it's Jennifer, it's Tiffany C. maybe. Okay, all right, good deal. Great, Diane, you're up first, and then Donna, you'll follow.
Thank you. This is Diane from Michigan, a gratefully recovering compulsive reader. This paragraph brought to mind when I first came into this program. I was a complete train wreck. I could not stop binging. I would just go from, I'd wake up in the morning with a promise to myself that I wasn't going to binge that day, and then I would, within, you know, by 9 o'clock, I would be going from the refrigerator to the cupboard to the freezer back to the refrigerator, and just binging my guts out all day long. And when one of the first miracles for me for the program was God took away that desire to binge. And I've been in this program for 39 years, and really in 39 years, I could probably count on one hand how many times I've binged since then. So that was not of my own doing. I couldn't stop no matter what I did. And God took that away for me. And I've noticed, you know, over the years that it's been, that's how it always happens for me. Like I'll struggle with something and then suddenly I'll be willing to surrender it. And then I find peace again. And I'm in the process of another, you know, I've been hanging on to wanting to have a snack at night. Been doing it for years. And just realizing that this is, it's not something I need. It's something that I want. And so I'm trying to let go of that. So I'm trying to surrender that to God as well. But I know I can't do any of this on my own, on a non-spiritual basis. This is totally only through the help of my higher power and working these steps and working this program. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Diane M. from Michigan. Donna B. from Colorado. You're up now, and then Carrie from Colorado will follow you.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Colorado. Thank you, Mel, for your service. I don't remember how many years ago it was, but when I was first introduced to the Vision for You meeting, I reached out to a woman in hopes that she would be my sponsor, which she did accept. And she asked me about my experience in OA leading up to that time. And I said, well, I do everything I'm supposed to do. I'm definitely a doer. I like to get gold stars. You know, if I have to make calls, I'll make calls. If I have to write, I'll write. If there are questions to answer, I will answer them. I said, but I don't really have much of a spiritual program. I more of have an action-based program. And she said to me, if you don't have a spiritual program, you actually have nothing. And that was really hard for me to hear because I had spent many, many years in the rooms, quote unquote, acting as if I had a higher power, but really not believing in God. I wanted to believe in God. I tried to believe in God. I did everything in my power to develop a relationship with God, and it lacked sincerity. And the 12th step tells us that having had a spiritual awakening as the result of working these steps. And to me, that's a promise that if I continue to work the steps to the best of my ability with the guidance of a sponsor who has had a spiritual awakening, that results will ultimately manifest for me. And I can say today that I have had a spiritual awakening, and today I actually have a concept of a higher power. She's a beloved mother. She's the mother I never had, and she possesses the qualities that I need to live. Unconditional love, radical acceptance, and the ability to reassure me, soothe me, and comfort me. And that allows me to remain abstinent from this disease that ravished my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Donna B. from Colorado. Carrie G. from Colorado is up now. And then Tiffany C. from Washington will follow you.
Hi, Carrie. Good morning, Mel. Good morning, my fellows. This is Carrie G., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Colorado. The sentence here, and I have highlighted, we've lost the power to choose, just brings me back to the, and there is a solution. We learned the fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in the drink. And so this just hearkens to me on the desperation that is needed, that it's such a step one experience that I do not have the power. and makes me think of an outreach call that I had this past week with a member in relapse. And that member said to me, I'm not doing the step work right now, but I am prepping my food and I am getting to the gym. And I said, what if we looked at those two experiences as a step one experience? Like, can we look at the powerlessness in those experiences? Is it your power that is getting you to the gym? Or is there a power greater than yourself that is helping you get to the gym? When you prep your food, it's challenging, right? It's not something that we're all used to doing right off the bat. Could we look at it as a step one experience? I'm powerless over getting this food all prepped, going to the store, weighing it all out. God is the one that is doing for me what I can't do for myself. And can I live in this powerlessness? You know, for me, when I first started listening to these meetings, everyone kept saying how they were recovered, and I was absolutely abhorrent. I was like, what are they talking about? They don't talk about that like that in my face-to-face meetings. Until I set aside everything I thought I knew and listened to a member call me up one day and say, hey, have you heard these members on A Vision for You talk about their recovered states? And I tried to listen to her like I'd never heard the meeting before. And it actually cracked open a little valve in my heart to listen with different ears. And so today I listen like my hair's on fire, and I try to have powerlessness with everything I do. So thank you guys so much for being out there. I love you all. With that, I pass.
Thank you very, very much. Carrie G from Colorado. Tiffany C from Washington, your time starts now, and then Robin P will follow you.
Hi, this is Tiffany C from Washington State. I'm a compulsive overeater. Yeah, I haven't been on this call in a while. I first put on a couple months ago, and I just had such a hard time getting up in the mornings to get on here. And like this paragraph about like needing that higher power to recover from this disease is really speaks to me, because like I've found like the more that I engage with my sponsor and work in the steps, that I'm actually, you know, still going through the first few chapters and listening to the Vision for You speaker special editions. You know, it's really saving my life, and I keep waking up early in the morning. Just no matter how hard I try to sleep in, it just never happens. And so I was like, you know what? Maybe it's me to get on the call. So I'm just really, I wanted to express my gratitude to this group and this phone call for being here. And the part that I have highlighted, and not just circled, but square circled, because it stands out more, is we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. That really spoke to me when I heard one of the recordings where she was answering a question, and, you know, it's a question about a lady who knew somebody from a meeting that couldn't share until they had 7 days abstinence or whatever. And so the speaker, she's like, well, you know, maybe she just doesn't want it bad enough yet. And that really got to me, and that kind of opened my eyes. It's like, because I remember the part in the book where it talks about, like, if something's getting to me, then, you know, I need to look at my own stuff. And that's what was going on, is I realized I hadn't wanted it bad enough the first couple of months I was in the program. And that's why I kept relapsing. So give it up, give it to my higher power, and we're good. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tiffany C. from Washington. Next up is Robin P. and from Florida, Mexico. And right after Jennifer T., we will open it up for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 34 in the chapter, more about alcoholism in the big book. So let's hear from Robin first, and then we'll talk about more. Thanks. Hi, Robin.
Hi. Thanks so much, Melanie. Thanks so much for your service. This is Robin T. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida, and where it's freezing. So, you know, most of us felt we had plenty of character
and that we could do this ourselves, and yet we found it was impossible. And wow, if I could have done this myself, I would have, because I just over and over like that. Today is Groundhog's Day, and that's what it felt like to me. Over and over and over again, I would just, okay, this time. And just that illusion of control and that illusion of self-power, you know, and of myself, I am nothing. The Lord doeth the works. Like, it is so clear for me that this power was greater than myself. Because if I could have done this, I would have done it. And I wish that it says here, no matter how great the necessity or the wish, it was so necessary. I was destroying my life. And I had no relationships. It was this, I had a relationship with food, and that was it. And I hid with food, and food was not my friend. And that determination, that self-will run riot, that I could control this. And I'm so eternally grateful to God and this program, because I know where my power comes from. And I'm so grateful for all of you guys in this great fellowship. And I always think of how I was out drowning in the water by myself, and now I'm in this wonderful fellowship. God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day. I'm so grateful to be able to share. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Robin P. In about 3 minutes after Jennifer T. shares, I'm going to open up the lines again for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 34 of your big book. And what I had neglected to say before, if you'd shared on Friday or Monday, perhaps then tomorrow would be your day to share. So keep that in mind as well. But in the meantime, we'd love to hear from Jennifer T. from South Carolina for her 3 minutes. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, this is Jennifer. I'm an overeater. I don't know how to say it. I'm new. I haven't done this in many months, and I can't find my book. So I don't really have any comments. I'm enjoying listening to you guys. And I would love to have a sponsor if there's one out there. But I'm starting over today, and I'm glad I got on to this group. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that very much. Okay, so the lines are now open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 34 of your big book. If you haven't shared in the last couple of days, we would ask you to share perhaps tomorrow. Hang on, give me just a second. I'll finish what I'm saying because I know I'm chatty, and then I'll be able to hear your name when you give it out. So I just want to make sure that those that have those that go ahead.
I'm so sorry.
I'm not going to be able to say it, am I? Okay, I'll hush up. Okay, you all talk.
Kayla T.
Geraldine O. from Ireland.
Hang on just 1 second. I need to be able to just clear the air here for a second so I can get my bearings back under my feet here. Okay, so whoever would like to share on paragraph 2, page 34, while your moderator here gets herself squared away again, please press star 1 on your phone keypad, and I'll take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, if I could, please.
Geraldine O. from Ireland.
Geraldine O. from Ireland.
Stacy D. Georgia.
Stacy D. Georgia.
Bridget V.
From
New Mexico.
From New Mexico. Okay. Let's take two more and see what we get, okay?
Kayla
Sandy
T.
Sandy S.
Kayla? Did I hear Kayla?
Kayla T. Arizona.
My ears are just terrible this morning. Okay, one more. Just go with one more, please.
Sandy S. from Asheville, North Carolina.
Sandy S. Asheville, North Carolina. Gotcha. Let's go with that line up here and see what we have. We're going to start then with Geraldine from Ireland. Let's go there.
Hi, this is Geraldine O. from Ireland. May I be heard?
Hi there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, moderator. Geraldine O. from Ireland, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater and available sponsor. And, I can guess why there are so many people just dying to share on this paragraph today, because You know, for me, I've really been enjoying this chapter and listening to all the shares over the last, week or two. But I suppose for me, this is leading up to step one and, you know, that acknowledgement of us in step one that we are powerless over food. And, you know, when I look at it there, it just says, how do we stop? Like, that is the big question. And, you know, I remember having that great desire to stop, being tormented every night, feeling so guilty, vowing that I would stop again the next morning. So that was that tremendous urge to cease forever. But the next morning I would wake up and it would be, you know, the same as the day before. You know, I would have lost that ability to stop, lost, you know, that utter inability to leave it alone. I think some of the phrasing here is just so powerful, and it really speaks to that powerlessness, that you really, really want to do it. You know that it's so bad for you. You know that it was so necessary for me. It was affecting my health so much. I wanted to stop, but without the program, I couldn't. So until I admitted I was powerless over it, that my life had absolutely become unmanageable. And I had tried before admitting I was, you know, addicted to some of the substances, but without the spiritual program and admitting the powerlessness, I wasn't able to stop. And I'm just so grateful to have the program and to have, you know, the tools to help me to grow spiritually. And, you know, being on this call, listening to everybody, that helps me to grow and connect spiritually. And, you know, I'm so grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Geraldine O. from Ireland. Next up is Stacey D. from Georgia, and then Britt V. from New Mexico. Hi, Stacey. A quick star one, please. We'll unmute your line to be able to be heard.
Good morning.
Hello.
I was talking to myself. This might be the first time that I'm on this meeting sharing. I am Stacey D. from Georgia, compulsive overeater, and I am so incredibly grateful for this reading. All the days that I would start, I would say, okay, today's going to be a better day. Today's going to be a better day. And then as really shortly after saying that, I had a horrible day because I was in the food. And, you know, a lot of times for me, it was the behavior, the standing in front of the pantry or eating while standing or just so many of the behaviors, thinking about the food that's in my refrigerator or that was left, or really started the obsessive compulsive binging eating. And, you know, I'm so grateful for this program. I love this meeting because it does talk about recovery. And I've been at the meetings enough in and out 20 years, that I know that it is a spiritual program and that it's never going to be about the food, and that I know I'm just rambling because I feel like I have so many things to say, because I'm happy today. I'm happy today because some of the things that I think about is that I've over the years when I was not abstinent, I was always looking for an easier way. And really, OA is the easier way. Following this program and doing what is outlined in the big book is the easier way for me. The way I was living for the last 20 years was definitely not easier. So anyway, I just want to share, and this is my God shot. I love this. This is my God shot for the day. So I thank everybody on this line. And I'm just, thank you, moderator. Thank you, everybody, for your shares. It really, listening to everybody gives me such incredible hope for today. Thank you so much. Have a great day, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Stacey D. from Georgia. Next up is Britt V. from New Mexico, and then Kayla T. from Arizona will follow. Hi, Britt.
Hi, I'm Britt V. from New Mexico, a recovering compulsive overeater. I'll be really fast. I just wanted to share that I am starting to experience the promised spiritual awakening. I'm very excited about it. Actually, my abstinence date is May 15th of last year, but I'm starting to receive the promises. From the reading today, that quote, utter inability to leave it alone, that is definitely me. And I'm learning reliance upon God. And someone earlier mentioned the phrase radical acceptance. I'm starting to feel that from God. I didn't permit myself to feel it in the past. And now I am. And I'm developing greater reliance. And I'm taking care of myself as I never did before. I have a spiritual practice that is helping me grow and deepen. And the food no longer obsesses my thoughts. It doesn't take over my thoughts. And I'm so excited about it. I'm very, very thankful to A Vision for You, to the Big Book, where all the magic is, and to my lovely sponsor. Thank you all for being here, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Britt V. from New Mexico. Kayla T. from Arizona, you're next. And then Sandy S., you'll follow. I'm sorry, Sandy A., actually. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, Kayla T., Arizona. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. I'll let you know, though.
Oh, okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. Awesome. I just wanted to chime in today. Sharing is not one of my top five favorite things to do in the world, but, you know, I'm in this new practice of just asking God direction in my life, and it was abundantly clear to me that I was supposed to talk today, so here I am. Just to break it down a little bit from where my perspective is, that, you know, for those of us, for those who are unable to drink, how the question is how, and I can't, for me, I could not do it without you. I could not do it without asking for help. Like somebody else mentioned today, you know, if I could have, you know, I damn near would have. I definitely would have figured it out. You know, figuring it out is one of my strengths, yet I think it is also one of my biggest weaknesses. You know, when I come here, that figure it out has always worked for me in my life. Growing up from a little girl, it, you know, it's my responsibility to figure it out. And it served me well for a long time. But when I come here, you know, the idea of this spiritual basis, which is the complete opposite. And I have to take completely different actions than figure it out. I have to completely surrender and be resigned to God's will, which is something new. I mean, it's not necessarily a new concept for me, but nonetheless, you know, I'm in the process of recovering again. You know, and like I said, that figure it out thing and taking my power back is like so many people have talked about today. You know, that step one is, for me, is a lot to do with the obsession of the mind. You know, somehow, some way, my sick thinker tricks me into thinking one more time that I can figure it out. And time and time again, it shows me my actions when I get into that place show me I absolutely cannot figure it out. You know, I have to come here. I have completely lost the power to choose. Completely, you know, and being resigned to that is easy when I'm in a lot of pain. And then when I get a little bit of recovery, a little bit of absence, a little bit of time, you know, that stinker thinker of mine, you know, gets me in trouble again, you know. So I'm just really grateful to be here today. I'm grateful that I have a sponsor that's familiar with me, that's kind to me, that understands this disease more than I ever. Well, maybe someday I'll be as intuitive as her, but just for today, you know, I'm not intuitive. I've got to ask God direction on every single little thing that I do. Like, you know, Kara was talking about, you know, do I wear these shoes? Do I not wear these shoes? Do I eat this? Do I not eat this? That practice has brought me a lot closer to my higher power, and it allows me to accept that spiritual basis. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kayla T. from Arizona. Sandy A. from North Carolina, you'll be up next. And what I would like to offer is that there might be room for at least one or two more shares after Sandy if you want to get ready. paragraph 2, page 34 is where you'll find us. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Mel. Hi, this is Sandy S. from Asheville, and I haven't shared in about 4 months, so I thought I would share. And I am a recovered compulsive overeater since March 3rd, 1976, by the grace of God, totally. And, you know, the thing that I'm utterly powerless over for me is it's such an emotional level, you know, and really continuing to seek God's will on a daily basis. So it did feel for me like it was God's will for me to share. And the real question is how to stop altogether. And what I want to stop altogether is this overreactive fear that I have within my body and this lack of trust in myself to do the next right thing, even though pretty much I'm one of these doers also. I've never knowingly not done the right thing, which is an amazing thing to say, but that is just out of fear, you know. So, you know, I'm hoping I've seen a lot of recovery within myself on an emotional level, yet I don't feel that biological inner ease, you know, that I want to feel. So I just wanted to share that. For me, also, one other thing, I am not allergic to any specific substance at all within food. I am allergic to food. And just the act of eating makes me want to eat more. Someone had shared earlier that a normal person, they eat and then they get full. I find when I eat anything, it could be a salad or fruit, whatever it is, just the act of eating. So it's pretty humbling after having entire abstinence for all this time to really need to rely on God rather than weighing and measuring. I don't do that. And just really asking God not only to direct me emotionally, but to direct me to be healthier and healthier with the food. And I know I'm just a little tiny percentage of people who have recovered in OA. But I just want to say for anyone out there who's not allergic to any particular food, but to the first compulsive bite, you know, I'm with you. And with that, I pass.
That's Sandy A. from North Carolina. The lines are open for probably two more people, maybe at a two-minute pitch. We'll see how the time goes. And if you haven't shared in the last 3 or 4 days, we'd love to hear from you today. If you'd like to give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state, perhaps.
Shauna T, California.
Shauna T, California. One more.
Mary G from Arizona.
Mary G from Arizona. Let's go with those two and see what happens, okay? So first up would be Shauna T and then Mary.
Hi, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service and everybody being on this call today. I haven't been able to share on this meeting in a long time, so it's just wonderful. And all the shares, I'm just kind of piggybacking on everything that I've heard. Every single share has touched my heart. And it just, this paragraph just reminds me, you know, I came into OA in 2002 when I was 30 years old, and I'm now 49. And I did not get recovered. And I'm only recovered one day at a time by the grace of God till 2015. And I was a good student. I did what my sponsor told me to do, and I just couldn't, it just, I was lacking that power. And in hindsight, I realized that I was holding on to a lot of shame and guilt because I couldn't get this thing. I mean, I couldn't get it. And in every other area of my life, you know, you just work a little harder, you try this, or it must be me, it must be my fault, because clearly everyone is getting it. But come to find out that it was this shame, this guilt of admitting I am a compulsive overeater. I can binge on anything, and I, on my own, cannot do this thing. And I had to fully admit to that. And, you know, once I put down the shame and looked at this as this utter powerlessness was my greatest gift, you guys. Once I was like, I'm waving the white flag, I cannot do this anymore, it had me licked. Once I did that and I had no shame and I was honest and I was opening my mouth and just being like, I can't do this. You know, I used these rooms. I came in, I got a recovered sponsor. I shared war stories with her. You know, I didn't have to hold on to the shame anymore. And once I did that, admitting that powerlessness, it gave space for my higher power to come in. And I had to have, it's literally the gift of desperation. So if anyone's feeling like, I just can't do this, I can't, or if you, you know, if you're new and you're like, I don't understand this thing, or you're coming back after relapse or whatnot, that take that shame and guilt and move it aside and just bless it, because it is your gift to be like, you can't do this. So let your higher power come in. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Shauna T. from California. Mary G. Star 1, you're up next for 3.
Thank you, Melanie. Hi, this is Mary G. from Arizona. And I really love this paragraph. But, you know, my problem was that in the beginning, with that second sentence, we are assuming, of course, that the reader desires to stop. That was my problem. I really did not want to stop eating my alcoholic foods. I wanted to learn, in a way, how to moderate them. I wanted to learn, you know, how I could become a normal eater and literally just not desire to eat more than one, or as my husband does, just take one bite of chocolate and put it away. That to me was just unthinkable. I didn't know how to do that, but I didn't want to stop. I simply did not want to give up these foods. And what happened to me was I received the gift of desperation. I was gaining weight again, supposedly abstinent in OA, and I realized, you know, it was just a really graced moment that if I kept on eating, I would be in a wheelchair soon because I could hardly walk. It was so painful. And I just simply couldn't do that. I was too young. I had to work still. I didn't have the money if I wasn't working. And, you know, I was led to a group that told me what not to eat. And just interestingly enough, they were my alcoholic foods. And so I put them down because of this gift of desperation, which the acronym is G-O-D, God. The gift of desperation. I was so willing at that point to do what someone else told me to do. I wasn't really sure if it was going to work or not, but it did. And, you know, the whole idea of being able to leave it alone, no matter how great my desire is, I know who I am in the innermost being of myself. I cannot do that. I never will be able to do that. And I have to rely on my higher power in order to give me the ability to eat moderately and to be able to, you know, not obsess about my alcoholic foods. And with that, I will pass. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mary G. But don't go anywhere. I think it would be probably time for us to wrap up this portion of the recorded meeting. We will have 10 minutes of the additional unrecorded time, so don't go away. So I'd like to ask you, Mary G., if you'd please read from page 164 of our big book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We'll follow that then, Mary, with the Serenity Prayer, if everyone wants to join in that, and we'll transition. Good morning again. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Melanie. Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you